Man, the music's been good today, amen? Thank you, Miss Clark. I'm so glad that there's a river that flows that ain't never going to run dry. It's enough for everybody on planet Earth and everybody that'll be born until the Lord Jesus comes back for his own, amen? And even then some, amen, into a tribulation period. I did not plan to do this, but if you would take your Bible and go to Matthew chapter 10, and then I'm going to not abuse him, but I think... I'm so new to you folks as a pastor, and some of you are learning me, and I know that so many of you have come since COVID has begun and moved to our church and become a part. I'm going to ask Brother Morgan, I hate to abuse you, brother, but just come for about 5 minutes, all right? That, no more than that, if you would, and I'll promise to preach in my time, but instead of me howdying with you for a while, I'll let him howdy, and I'll just preach, amen. And this is our missionary. If you don't know Jim Morgan, he's been here longer than I have. And he is our missionary. We got to send him out. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you. Well, howdy. Well, it's a blessing to be here. Probably the greatest honor I've had is being a member of this church. Everywhere I go, all over the country, whenever I preach in other churches, the thing that usually gets me in the door is I'm out of a church with a good reputation, that has a pastor with a good reputation, that has a staff with a good reputation, honorable, an honorable church, a well-known church, and it's a blessing. A couple of years ago, the college gave me a doctor's degree. I don't want to be called doctor, but the honor was that this church saw something, and I appreciate that. It's an honor to be part of this church, and we love you folks, and we appreciate your standing behind us over the years. Just talking to Brother Parsons, since 1991, this church has supported us and stood with us and helped us, and helped us with vehicles, helped us with property, helped us with all kinds of things that we've done in Romania, and it's just been wonderful. Several of my kids have gone through the college here, and many folks in the church have been blessings to them, helped them with financial needs, helped them with other things that they've needed, and I don't know how to thank you enough for that. It's just it's just a great thing to know. By the way, that's what church is.
That's right.
You understand?
Amen.
And I'm a missionary, and one missionary left to go to the field. He says, "I'll go if you'll hold the ropes." And I've never had a doubt in my mind that there's always been someone holding the ropes for us. There's never been a question about it. I've said this many times. One of the things that's an encouragement to a missionary is when we get our monthly report and we see the churches that are on that report. We like that far right column that says how much they gave, but more than that is the fact that they gave every month, that it's been consistent. And there's never been a month gone by that Landmark Baptist Church isn't on that list. And that means that they trust us, they love us. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
And amen.
Some of you folks have invested some treasure in our ministry through the missions program. And I know that your heart follows your treasure. Amen. And so... some of you, your hearts are with us, and we know it, and we come back, and people come running up. I'll be honest with you. Some of you come up, and you greet us, and I say, "Hey, good to see you again," and I have no idea who you are. But that's a good thing, because I'll be gone 2, 3, 4 years, and I come back, and there's new people here, and you know who I am? You know what that means? You've been praying for us, or... you know who your missionaries are, and that's good. That's a good thing. So if I have a confused look on my face, it's either I'm older and I know you, I just don't know that I know you. But we love you folks. And I come back, and first thing I do is I go to bus breakfast, because I just love the bus breakfast at Landmark. So nobody's laughing about that, but it's good bus breakfast. I love it. I can't wait to get that first cup of coffee in the United States at Landmark Bus Breakfast. All right? I even love the indigestion that comes afterwards. I love my church. I do. I love my church. I love the way the transition's taking place. I love the fact that Brother Parson's going to be my pastor now. I'm looking forward to see what God's going to do with this. I'm just happy about the thing, way things are going. We just love you folks, and thank you for praying for us, and thank you for standing up for us. Amen.
I would have had Brother Morgan preach for us tonight, but he told me that he had to go see one of our graduates that's up in Georgia, and by the name of Samuel Morgan. Some of you may know him. I don't know why he wants to go see him. Amen. But I think he's got some family up there he's going to go see tonight, or else we'd have had him preach. Matthew chapter 10. I want you folks to know, and I know a lot of times when you enter in anything like this, it's a this kind of transition that goes on. One of the biggest fears that everyone has, and we've mentioned it before, is the worry of change, that things are going to change, you know. And I know that if there ever was anybody that came and was trained in a place and wanted to do it the old time way and keep on keeping on, that's what's in my soul and in my heart to do. And that includes our missionaries, folks. That includes everybody. I don't want anybody to think, if anything, if you want to know what change is in me, I don't want to just do what we've done in the past. I want to do more. That's one of the things that he wants that from me, folks. And I know sometimes that's not knocking anybody. Amen. We always ought to be. Brother Jim said there's some new faces, man. We always ought to be after someone else for Jesus Christ. We ought to always be looking to try. You know that I didn't ask Brother Jim this, but I guarantee you he told me how much was talking about our support. And I'm thankful for that. But you know, if Romania is anything like it is here, it costs more for gasoline now that somebody changed office in other places. Amen. And so when rulers change positions and things happen, money, sometimes we don't need less, we need more. Amen. Of the same old things, the things that got us through. So pray for them. Be in prayer for them. They need your prayers, and they're part of us. They didn't go out from us because they weren't like us or of us. They went out because they love people, and God called them out of this place to send them. And they're still a part of us, folks. Sometimes we don't think about that, our missionaries, that way. They're still members right here serving there. They're trying to build another landmark Baptist church just like it is here. Well, a church for the Lord Jesus Christ over there, just like this one. Amen? In Matthew chapter 10, I want to preach a message this morning the Lord put on my heart, and I'll pray, and then we'll get after it. The cause of division. I don't know about you, but I can see some division in the world today. Can you? I know that division has always been there, but it's a little bit easier to see it today. It's easier to see the great divide of things and morality and ideology and the divide of theology in this world today than ever before. And I just want to preach a message today, and please stay with me. If you only listen halfway, you're only going to get half the message, and that's not good either, is it? Amen. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, I do thank you for your many blessings. God, I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you would do what I can't do, that you would go into the hearts of the hearers, and that you would convict, that you would draw those that need to be saved today unto yourself and to the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, God, that if there's someone that needs help today in peace, I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you would deliver the peace that they need. They need encouragement through the message today. Whatever it is that they need, God, I know that you know what they need. And I pray today that this message would be just what they needed from on high. Help me, Lord, to be your messenger boy and just deliver what you've given me today. In Jesus' name, amen. In Matthew chapter 10, if you'll look at verse 34, I want to preach a message today on our nation being divided. Not just our nation, but the world being divided. I don't know if for the tape room, if you'll put on there, the cause of division. That is the title of the message today, the cause of division. And we're going to find the cause of division in Matthew chapter 10. And it's going to be something that you may not think that that's what the cause of division is. Look at it with me. He says in verse 34, think not. This is red letter in your Bible. That means Jesus is speaking. He says, think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Look at verse 39. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent him. The Lord Jesus Christ saying here today, listen, if you want to know what the cause of division in the world, it's Almighty God. When God, listen, the world got united in the Old Testament and they built a tower. And it was Almighty God that had different direction and a different place for them to be. And he came down and he caused division. He split up their language and separated them into all these different people groups and areas by their language. And you say, why would God be that way? Why? Because when man gets together on something, it ain't never good. Man don't all group together and say, hey, let's save the world. Most of the time, man gets together and let's save the whales. When man gets together, it's not, hey, let's tell people about an Almighty God who can save them. It's let's get together and save the polar bears. The world can get together about all kinds of crazy things. Hey, let's get together and build a tower. Now, I don't know about you folks, and you can say whatever you want. Some people say the Tower of Babel was false worship. Some people said they built a tower into heaven. Some people thought they were trying to get high enough in case the flood ever came back again, they could get up above it. There's all kinds of different speculation, but this is the problem. Man got together to do what was in his own will to do and not what was in God's will. Whether you believe it or not, God has a will for this earth and this planet, and it is to see every man come to salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. That is his will, his plan, and it will come to pass one day. He will set the Lord Jesus up upon a throne, and he will rule with a rod of iron, whether you like it or not. No matter what side you decide to fall on or which side you choose, he will rule and reign one day. And as it's already been said today, I think you ought to get on the right side of things. Amen. Now, I'm not trying to preach politics this morning. I'm trying to preach to you Jesus. But sometimes, if we're not right, we can get very pharisaical like the old Pharisees of the old temple. And I mean, they get back and they get upset with people because they wanted to get all in the nitty-gritty of all the rules and regulations. And they thought because people weren't moral that they were wrong with God. Listen, can I just tell you, a person who's not saved is always going to struggle with immorality. Now, the influence of the Bible in this country and the Lord Jesus Christ bringing it to be, we were in our foundation. Even if people weren't saved, there was a good dose of morality in these United States. But the farther we grow away from our forefathers and the multitude of believers that founded our country, the farther we've moved into immorality. But don't get mixed up. It's not immorality that is the problem. The problem that they see is when Jesus shows up. Every time that Jesus shows up, you can go up to our county courthouse. You can go all over the place and thank God for the state that we live in. And I could go on praising the Lord for all that he's done, not only in our state because of our governor and so many other things. But hey, how about the weather? Bless God. Thank God he's been good to us. The rest of the country, if you think the air condition's cold in here, buddy, if you were anywhere else in the nation, you'd be freezing to death right now. Hey, folks, God's good to us. He's so good to us, but the divider, I'm going to tell you right now, the divider has always been what you're doing with Jesus. It's always been the dividing. Turn your Bibles, if you would, over to John chapter number 7 with me. John chapter number 7, and I want to show you some divisions, and we're going to run for home as hard as we can go today. John chapter 7, we're going to see some different times in the Lord Jesus' life that we find division. We find him causing division. And we don't like to say, well, is he the cause of division? Always, because when God shows up, People scatter. People have to choose whether they're going to believe God or whether they're going to stand in rebellion against God. When God shows up, He's the ultimate authority, and either you go His way or you go your own way. Every time. The cause of division throughout history, it's His story and He's moving it. And the worst part is when people start thinking it's our story or it's my story. And when God shows up in your life and tells you it's His story, it's not your story, buddy, you have to make a decision. You're going to go God's way or you're going to go your own way. The cause of division here we find in John chapter 7 is the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm in He. He's coming here, and I want you to look at verse number 37 with me. And maybe you remember this passage, and maybe you don't, so we'll read a lot of it for those that maybe aren't familiar. It says, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, man, what a song, that river we were talking about earlier, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Any man. Every man, Jesus says, if he's thirsty, let him come unto me. Can I tell you, there's no water of life like you'll find in Jesus. He's the only giver of eternal life. Folks, I'm here to tell you, if you haven't chosen Him as your Savior, you ought to choose Him. But for every believer in the room, know this. Don't blame the world. Don't blame the world for the great division that we see. Blame it on Jesus, because Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. He did not come to bring the world peace. He came to bring you peace through salvation. He did not come. He said, I came with a sword. Listen, He'll come with a sword, and the sword will bring peace, the one that's in His mouth. He'll rule with a rod of iron one day, but that's not the Jesus that came in salvation. The Jesus that came in salvation came and divided the world on the issue of salvation. Here in John chapter 7 and verse 37, He says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. If you're thirsty today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, the best thing you could ever do is come unto Him today. Amen. Turn to Jesus. Leave your works. Leave your church. If you think a church is going to get you to heaven, you're in trouble. Amen. You can only go through Jesus. Our president, I can't help it. I tried not to tell this story, but I can't help it. All right, this is what preacher did. Time out. This is on your time, not mine. Because you want to hear this story, I know. President Biden went to church early this past week. Went in there to get the sacraments. He's a Catholic. Showed up there, and a priest with a backbone was there. And listen, I'm going to tell you, whether he ate the cracker and drank the juice, he wasn't getting to heaven no way that way. All right? Because I don't care how much you pray over that stuff, it don't become the blood of Jesus or His body. All right? The transubstantiation, I know that big word, I get to run a college. Woo! Amen. But it don't matter how many times you pray in Latin, hocus pocus, hocus pocus. It don't change, folks. It's still just what it was. And you sure ain't going to get there by drinking alcoholic wine or grape juice, okay? I can just tell you that right now. That's against the book. Amen. Amen. That's good preaching. That's good preaching. That's old time preaching, folks. Amen. Stay away from that stuff. Bible says don't even look at it. Throw away all that cough medicine. No, okay. So I was getting ready to meddle. But you know, Jesus shows up and He's going to cause a division here, but He starts out. He doesn't sound like division, does it? It says, anybody that thirsts, you come unto me. For the believer, it doesn't sound like division. It sounds like hope. For the believer, it doesn't sound like separation. It sounds like I'm coming together with the Holy God. For the believer, it doesn't sound the same for those that reject it. For those that accept it, it sounds like I'm going home. It sounds like peace has come to my soul. Now I know that I have rest in Him. I was once thirsty, but now I've been satisfied by the Lord Jesus Christ. He goes on, He says in verse 38, He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Verse 39, he says, "But this spake he of the Spirit, which they believed on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because the Lord Jesus was," it says that Jesus was not yet glorified. "Many of the people, therefore, when they had heard this saying, said, of a truth, this is the prophet." But I want you to jump down just a couple of verses with me. I mean, they had some arguing here in verse 41 and 42, whether he was truly the son of David, whether this was truly the Messiah that would come. See, they thought that he was born in Galilee, but he was born in Bethlehem of Judah. He was born just in the place that they said he would, just the place that they argued about. And in verse 43, it says, "So there was a division among the people because of him." Do you know that they then, in the next couple verses, for time's sake, they get to arguing? I mean, they get to saying, "Why didn't you take him? You were there. Why didn't you arrest him? Why didn't you bring him to us so he could answer to us?" And those man's answer in verse 46 said, "The officers answered, never man spake like this man." Can y'all tell you, can I translate that for you? If I was writing the version, now don't get messed up, all right? I'm just having a good time. But if I was the one penning it down, I'd say, listen, if you'd have heard him say, "If any man thirst, come unto me." He said, they said, listen, if you were there, you wouldn't be wanting to take him. If you had heard what I heard, you'd have run to Jesus. You wouldn't have wanted to shackle him. If you had heard what I heard, no man has ever spoken with the power that that man spoke. Hey, folks, Jesus is different than anybody else that's ever walked this earth. 100% God and 100% man, all bound up in the same person, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. For you and I, can I just tell you today, there's a division because they had trouble with his deity. They had a trouble that he was born, where he was born. They had trouble with his birth. Do you know the liberals today still have trouble with his birth? You want to know what doesn't just divide the world, but divides even Christians today, is whether he was born of a virgin. Do you know what divides people, whether they're going to be fundamental, which means they're a Bible believer, is what about his birth? Was he born of a virgin? Was he born the right way in the right place? Listen, nobody was born like Jesus was born. Nobody spake like Jesus spake, but nobody had the birth like Jesus had. Folks, he was the second Adam according to the scripture. You say, "Brother Parsons, you got to hasten." I do. Turn over one chapter with me. Chapter 9, if I was in chapter 8, if you would. Chapter 9, if you would look with me in chapter 9, verse 15. Not only was there a division over his deity, but there was a division over his works. There was a division over his works. Look at verse 15 with me. "Then again the Pharisees," boy, I see this group a lot. "Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight." This is not talking about Jesus. They're talking about that old blind man that received his sight. "He said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles?" And there was a division among them. I don't know about you, but if you've even heard half tell about what Jesus has done in this life, when he was on earth and he walked this life and he touched people, people touched him and they were healed. Nobody had the works like Jesus did. The dead were raised up unto their families again. Jesus did works like no other man had ever done works. And it didn't matter. Every one of his works didn't just help him. Listen, they wanted to argue about what day he did it on. They wanted to be upset. Listen, I mean, that was good, but you can't do that on Saturday. You can't do that on the Sabbath. If he was of God, he would know that. My Bible says he's Lord of the Sabbath. Hey, see, the problem was always going back. The division was over his deity. Not just in his birth, but the division over his deity was in his works as well. You know, you may have found yourself on your way in today into this place, and you believe in a Jesus, but you don't believe in Jesus, the only begotten of the Father. Not just 100% man and 100% God, but the God-man, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
See, the Jesus, the only Jesus that can be preached, that can save a sinner, is the Jesus that is God. Is the Jesus that was born of a virgin. Is the Jesus that lived a perfect life. The Jesus that did all the works and healed and touched and went all the way to the cross. And did the ultimate healing for all mankind and died upon Calvary and shed his only, the only man that could shed blood, that was pure blood, that could cover a multitude of sins. The Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, Brother Parsons, that's my Jesus. Well, I'm glad today. But listen, there's a bunch of people that might have walked into this place and they didn't know what Jesus they were believing in. They knew of him. They knew about him. They've heard him preach, but they've never accepted the only begotten Son of God. They've never trusted in him. Turn over with me one chapter to chapter 10. I want to tell you that he's just not all those things, but he's the good shepherd. Now you say, how in the world could the good shepherd be a division? How could anybody be divided against the one that is so good, the one that loves and cares for the sheep? Folks, I want you to see this. John chapter 10, and look at verse number 14. He says, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, and other sheep have I. Hey, that's me. If you're saved today, that's you. He said, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold. They shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me. Isn't that a great statement? I don't know about you, but listen, my Savior loved God so much, his Father, that he was still, if there was ever a picture of a son that wanted to please his Father, amen? If there was ever a shepherd that went out into the field, we know David I'm trying to give you a message here today of folks of God loved us so much. He said, he looked at David and said, David is a man after my own heart. If you want to know how David was a man after his own heart, David desired, even though he messed up sometimes, he desired to please God with his life. He loved the Father and he wanted to please him. If you want to know how he was after God's own heart, our Savior came and he said, I'm the good shepherd. And he lived, listen, he didn't have a sin problem like David. And he showed us what true love for the Father was and obedience. And he went all the way to the cross and died for our sins and paid for our sin debt. He says here, no man, look at this, Therefore doth my Father love me, because I laid down my life that I might take it up again. You want to know why the Father loved him? Because he was obedient unto death. How should I be as a Christian, Brother Parsons? How far will you carry your obedience? If I'm going to be like Jesus, I'm going to be faithful until the end. He says, no man. You want to know why Jesus was Jesus? Because he didn't just lay his life down, but he took it up again. He had power stronger than your power. He said to Mary and Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He says, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father. In verse 19, how could anybody have division over that? How could anybody be confused about that? But them old Pharisees, there was a division, therefore, again, among the Jews for these sayings. Folks, I just want to tell you, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. And way back in the book of Genesis, he was causing division. When he came and walked this old earth, he was causing division. And in our day and age, the cause of division is still the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's because he came and went to a cross and changed everything for everybody that would ever come to him in faith. Amen. I just want you to know Jesus died for you. He paid for your sins. If you just simply come to him in salvation, you say, oh, it's such a simple message, Brother Parsons. Yes, sir. But you know, some of us came in here mad at the world because of division. And we got no right to be mad with the world because the cause of division in this life is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I learn to be obedient to him, I look at the world and go, they're like that because they don't know Jesus. They're immoral because they don't know the one that gave the moral law. They walk a wrong way and make wrong decisions because they don't know my Jesus. I believe with everything inside of me, if people could just get Jesus on the inside of them, they'd make some right decisions. And there's a ton of Christians that know Jesus, but if they'd learn this book, they'd make some better decisions too. Because they'd be obedient, like he was obedient. Look on with me. I just want to read a couple more verses and we'll head for home. He says this, my sheep, in verse 27. See, I told you I was one of those sheep. He says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. And this is a verse that I go to often. Because I'm not worried about a mansion. I'm not worried about streets of gold. I'm not worried about all the other things on the other side that I can gain. But the one thing that I need to be reminded of, because I realize it's not just this life, but it's eternal life that the Lord Jesus Christ gave me. Folks, so many people are in fear right now. They cover their faces everywhere they go because they're worried about this life. The whole world has been turned upside in division because they're worried about this life when Jesus came and caused division because he was worried about their next one. He was worried where they would spend their eternal life. And every one of us understand in this room that have had any kind of teaching that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost, and he died that he might give eternal life to everybody that would come to him. Every person that thirsted, they could come to him. Every sheep that needed to turn in and could hear his voice would come unto him and find rest and find food and find the goodness of a Lord Jesus Christ that would give unto them eternal life. That Savior today still stands with arms stretched out wide saying, come unto me and I'll give unto you eternal life. Amen. Folks, the options are this. The great divide, the cause of division is because man was on his way to hell. And it would seem that some people have no idea. They've rejected God. They've rejected the things of God. And some of them didn't ever get the chance to reject it. They went to a public school and to a college that taught them that there was no God. They were just like the rest of the world that grew up in huts believing that the sky was God or the moon was God or the dirt was God or the tree was God. And that they knew none of those things could save. And so they threw off the idea that eternity existed, that this life was all there was. But I'm here to submit to you today that God sent his only begotten Son in obedience to die on Calvary and to pay for eternal life for every man because they couldn't pay for it themselves. They couldn't work it up. No church could grant it. But only the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ could purchase the gift that could be given in eternal life. Amen. And I'll never spend a day in hell today because of what Jesus gave me. And if you're saved today, you'll never spend a day in hell, even though you deserve it because of your sins. Even though you earned it, you won't go there, but because of what Jesus earned for you. Amen. Folks, today, the great cause of division is what people do with Jesus. The cause of division today is over our Lord and Savior. Now, I ask you this. Will you stay divided from one that died for Calvary for you today? If you're here and you don't know him, are you going to stay divided on the side against him? The side that's going to hell? The side that's immoral because it doesn't know Christ or his teachings? Or will you step on the other side and accept Jesus and his payment on Calvary for your sin? His finished work. Ask him to be your Savior Ask him to save him from your sins and make it personal today for you. Will you do that today? The plea today, the invitation is simply this. Don't be divided anymore. The cause of division is Jesus. Why don't you come to him? Why don't you be restored to a holy God today? If you're here and you know Jesus, I'll ask you Christians today, have you been following him in obedience? Have you been trusting him with all things? Or have you been wavered? And maybe you need to come home and get on the altar and say, God, I want to be close to you again. God, I want to hear from you again. God, reach into my soul and touch me like you used to. Let me know that you're still here and that you're still guiding and still directing me. With heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand to your feet? The instruments are going to begin to play. I've made a plea. I've begged you to come. But when the music starts, don't hesitate. Step out. We're an old-fashioned church, and the old-fashioned way is we give an invitation. And that just means that we invite you to come to the front and let somebody take the Bible and show you how to be saved. Would you step out today? If God's spoken to your heart, whether you're a Christian and you just need to pray and talk to God, maybe you're a Christian and you know somebody in the building that needs to get saved and you want to come pray for them. But maybe you're lost. Maybe you don't know Jesus as your Savior. Would you step out and come? There are people holding a Bible in the front that'll take the Bible and show you what Jesus said that you need to do to accept him and be saved. I'm going to step to the front. Brother Bert's going to sing. Would you step out and come?
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God.
Bow your head with me today. Nobody looking around but me and the Lord. Maybe you're here and you're not saved. But folks, I'll make another plea for you. If you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart, would you please step out now and come down and let me take your hand and take the Bible and show you how you can be saved. One of the most heartbreaking things to a preacher is to come and to preach the message that God's laid on his heart. And to know that there are people in the building that are lost and on their way to hell without Christ. And to have them leave without him.
Jesus, presente.
just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
All right. I want to thank everybody for being here today. And you pray, amen, that God will continue working, amen, as we deal with some things down here in the front. But we thank you for being here so much. God has blessed us so much to have some visitors with us today. You come back and see us again. We'd love to have you. And if you're here, all right, and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I was going to tell you just a moment ago that my dad did the same thing you did, came to a wonderful service like this with good, godly people in the building, and he gripped the pew and held on. But it wasn't until afterwards that he let somebody take the Bible and show him how to be saved. There are good men down here in the front, good people, and I'll be at the back door with my Bible. And if you want to know how Jesus can save you, you stop by and say, "Preacher, I need to be saved." I remember somebody named Pastor Carter did that. He met the preacher at the back door and he took the Bible and showed him how to be saved. Amen. We can do that this morning as well. We're going to be in prayer to be dismissed. Brother Perkins, step up and pray for us if you would, brother.
Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning, Lord. We thank you for the message that we heard, Lord. We thank you for the Lord Jesus that saved us. And Father, as we dismiss this morning, Lord, we pray that you take us home safe, bring us back safe tonight. We love you. We praise you for it. In Christ's name, amen.